The following message is brought to you by the Southside Church of Christ in Smyrna, Tennessee. A new message airs each Sunday morning right here on WGNS from 10:45 to 11 a.m. We would like to invite you to worship with us at any or all of our services. You'd be our honored guest. We meet on Sundays at 9 and 10 a.m. and 6 p.m., as well as Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We meet at 1167 South Lowry Street, that's Murfreesboro Road, in Smyrna, Tennessee. Please visit our website at defendthegospel.com. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful day. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 to 4, the Bible says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace." Now, the Apostle Paul is addressing a very serious problem in the churches of Galatia. Evidently, there are some who are trying to mingle faith with the law of Moses. They are trying to say that you should keep the law of Christ and the law of Moses if you really want to be a Christian. Now, the problem is these folks we know as Judaizers. Those who were Jews, and then they were converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet their conversion wasn't complete. Some of them even came in by stealth, Paul said in chapter 2. And they were trying to say that the Gentile Christians couldn't really be Christians. They weren't really sons of God because they weren't physically circumcised. And Paul is trying to address these Judaizers. He had already said in verse 1 that if they teach any other gospel, let them be accursed. And here he's saying that if you succumb to the teaching of these people and begin to believe that you must also keep the law of Moses, well, you've left the faith. You have fallen from grace. Now, there are some things that we learn here about spiritual liberty. Liberty is a grand thing in all situations. On July the 4th, we celebrate our national liberty and independence. But spiritual liberty is far superior. Here, instead of a liberty bell, we have a liberty cross. Jesus died on the cross to free us from our sins, to deliver us from certain eternal punishment, and to grant us a living hope of eternal life in the presence of the Lord. From Galatians chapter 5 here, we learn that this spiritual liberty can be three things, and I want us to focus upon those three things, and I want you to write them on your heart because they're very important. Number one, this spiritual liberty can be acquired. Paul said in verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free." Now, Paul said that Christ had made them free. And so it's very clear that they had acquired spiritual liberty. Now, these Galatians had been freed from the law of Moses, and they had acquired liberty from sin. How did they acquire it? Well, you know, Paul tells us a few verses earlier, as he reminds the Galatians how they had become sons of God. His point is that they did not become sons of God. They did not become children of God by being physically circumcised. They're not going to become sons of God or children of God by keeping the law of Moses. He reminds them how they became sons of God. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, because as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Now, can you be saved if you have not put on Christ? Well, absolutely not. You can't be saved on the outside of Christ. You have to be inside Christ if you want to be saved. That's where salvation is. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 10, Paul said, "He endured all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory." And so salvation is on the inside of Christ. And so you can't be saved until you have put on Christ, until you are in Christ. Well, Paul tells these Galatians that they were baptized into Christ. Now, it wasn't baptism only. It wasn't just dunk somebody under the water and that'll save them. Because verse 26 said, "by faith." And so it was a believing baptism. It was someone who had heard the gospel of Christ.
Someone who believed that Jesus was the Son of God. Someone who is willing to repent of their sins and to confess their faith in Christ. This is the person who was baptized into Christ, and this is the person, Paul said, became a son of God and therefore obtained spiritual liberty. Spiritual liberty. Saul, Paul himself, as when he was known as Saul, was told in Acts 22 verse 16 by Ananias, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." You know, a lot of people today talk about calling on the name of the Lord. Oh, you need to just call on the name of the Lord. And the implication behind what they say is that you just simply verbally or prayerfully call on the Lord Jesus. Hello, Lord Jesus, save me. But the Bible teaches that the way we call on the Lord Jesus is to arise and be baptized and wash away our sins. Acts 22, verse 16. That's what the Apostle Paul did here. And that's what he reminded the Galatians that they had done. They had been baptized into Christ, where salvation is. You see, baptism connects us spiritually with the blood of Christ, and then the blood of Christ washes away our sins. It cleanses us from our sins and imparts to us spiritual liberty. Paul spoke of this liberty in Ephesians 1:7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. And so there we have that redemption through His blood. That is, we have been bought back from slavery to sin. We have the forgiveness of sins, the forgiveness of sins. We have been cleansed. We have been liberated from the deadly grip of sin. And these at Galatia, they had it. They had acquired liberty in Christ. My friend, you can acquire liberty in Christ. But let's move on. Number two, not only can this spiritual liberty be acquired, but it can be abused. Now, there were some in Galatia trying to abuse their spiritual liberty. It seems similar to a problem the Apostle Paul addressed in Galatians 6, or rather to the church at Rome in Romans 6, verse 1 and 2. There he said, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not." Paul urged the Galatians not to use their liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Verse 13 of Galatians 5, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Having liberty from sin doesn't mean that we're now free to sin. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Absolutely not. Certainly not, Paul said. The liberty does not... You ever heard the phrase, liberty comes at a price? Or liberty isn't cheap? Or liberty isn't free? It isn't. Now we have freedom from our sin. But now there's a certain way that we must live. There's a certain way that we must conduct ourselves in order to continue to have this liberty. But notice here that the Galatians were trying to abuse their liberty and use it as an opportunity for the flesh. You see, when we become Christians, we're not allowed to go on living any way we choose to live. Now, the old doctrine of Calvinism teaches that once one gets saved, he can never so sin as to lose his salvation. Now, Calvin called it the perseverance of the saints. We know it better today as the once saved, always saved doctrine. But you know, when practically applied, this doctrine actually condones the concept of having your cake and eating it too. Just get saved, the doctrine says. And then just go ahead and live any way you want to live. Go ahead and enjoy the lust of the flesh. You can't lose your spiritual liberty. Now, my friends, that is utter nonsense. The Bible never teaches such a thing. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul here says to do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. He goes on to talk about how in verse 16 we're to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then he talks about those in verse 19 to 21, those works of the flesh. And he mentions adultery and fornication and uncleanness and lewdness and idolatry and sorcery and hatred and contentions and jealousies and outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. We can't live in those things. We can't get saved and then go on committing these things and expect to go to heaven, my friends. The Bible just doesn't teach such a doctrine. Paul said we must walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit, Galatians 5, verse 25, if we want eternal life. The Bible says that we must remain faithful to the Lord. In Revelation 2, in verse 10, the Lord Jesus Himself said, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. Now that implies that one can be unfaithful and become unfaithful to the Lord before he dies, and therefore lose his crown of life. Now, the Bible over and over again talks about how we must continue to walk faithful. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul warned the Corinthians, therefore let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. 1 Corinthians 10, 12 and 13. Now, why would Paul warn folks not to fall if it's impossible to fall? Matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, or 2 Peter rather, chapter 1, verse 5 to 11, Peter talks there about the Christian graces, as we've called them. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and the knowledge self-control, and then brotherly love and kindness and so forth. And then Peter says there, if these things are yours and abound, you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Suggesting that if they are absent, you will be barren. And then he says in verse 10, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you'll never stumble. Now, I've already gotten into my third point. We're going to continue on it. Spiritual liberty can be acquired. Spiritual liberty can be abused. And as we've just been talking about, spiritual liberty can be abandoned. You can become estranged from Christ. That's what Paul said in our passage. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. He said, you have become estranged from Christ. Now that suggests that one knew Christ. They were in fact in Christ. They had Christ. They had salvation. And then they became estranged from Christ. They had fallen from grace. Now can one who is estranged from Christ be saved? Can one who has fallen from grace go to heaven? Listen, if it's impossible to fall from grace, then how could Paul even make such a statement? How could Paul even suggest that they could become estranged from Christ if that is impossible to do? You know, the Bible again goes on and on about how we need to remain faithful to the Lord. The Hebrew writer is very emphatic about it, matter of fact. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2, the Hebrew writer says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Drift away from what? Well, drift away from the doctrine of Christ. Drift away from our faith and our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, verse 2, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? You see that? We can't, after becoming Christians, actually neglect our great salvation. And then in Hebrews 3, verse 14, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. If we hold it to the end. Spiritual liberty, what a wonderful and grand thing. It's been offered to the entire world through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. This spiritual liberty can be acquired. This spiritual liberty can be abused. And this spiritual liberty can be abandoned. My friend, obey the Lord and remain faithful until the day you die.
Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, and I'd just like to ask you a question. Are you a child of God? Are you really a Christian? I mean the way the Bible says to become a Christian. The Bible teaches that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, 17. After we hear, we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. In John 8, 24, the Lord said, unless you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. After hearing and believing, we must be willing to repent of our sins, change our lives, decide to serve the Lord. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Now we're ready to confess our faith in Christ. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 says that with the heart we believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now we are prepared for baptism. The Lord said in Mark 16, 16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. In Acts 22, verse 16, Ananias said to Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Do you want your sins washed away? This verse tells us how it is done. After doing this, we are now a Christian, a child of God, and we are commanded to remain faithful to the Lord until we die in order to receive the crown of life. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Again, thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.